Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
Installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I area. Find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd
what?
Be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk. Good morning. This is Tech Talk, and I think any second now, this Michael Tech Talk caster will be joined by Dave Sparky Saganaki.
Yeah!
Hey, there he is. Oh, my gosh. Who is that masked man?
Hi, everybody. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, well, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. Things have been happening, going on.
Yeah, he's had... motorcycle things and
training. I was trained.
Trip things. I was hoping that was a voluntary training.
It
exercise.
Is. It
okay,
was.
Okay,
it was
okay,
voluntary. It was about staying alive, and you know.
It wasn't state mandated after some.
No. It's a 20-hour course.
Oh,
it's
wow.
A 20-hour course, and most of it's conducted outdoors in a hot blacktop parking lot, that kind of thing.
Not down. Shaded roads.
Oh no!
Winding.
Oh no, that would be nice.
Hilly. No.
No, and you're wearing all the gear. You know, the gloves, the boots, the long sleeve shirt, the helmet.
Yeah.
And it was like 90.
Yeah.
That last Saturday, so it was pretty roasty.
Fun.
It was. Man. It was.
Well, you know, that probably wouldn't be. Yeah, probably wouldn't be. I've always wanted to ride a motorcycle, but have never actually done so. Never. I don't know that I'd have a balance and stability to be able to manage it
yeah.
effectively.
Well, there are lots of people in the course that didn't have that either. A lot of bikes went down. The people were skinned up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So maybe you're making the wiser choice.
Yeah, huh? I think, and I've seen, I used to, in a former life, I used to occasionally go down to the Cook County Medical Examiners, and so I've seen the results of...
Oh, great. Yeah.
I've seen the results of... Yeah. You know, taking spills on those
Me
things.
Too. Motorcycling is dangerous, but that's not why I'm attracted to it. And in fact, you know, that's one of the deterrents, certainly. But it's mm-hmm. it's good to get as much training as you can if you're going to do it.
Yeah. 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 Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to take your life in your hands, you should at least know exactly what you're doing with it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it's a wonderful, beautiful Saturday morning. We've got some good stuff on tap here today. We will not be joined later this morning with the inimitable Jay Garman.
Oh.
I know. But in his stead, we will be coming in with John Stormer of TimeBridge, which was a cool site of the week that we've had in the past, and reached out to them. We were trying to get Yuri, who's the CEO, on, but he is just not available on Saturdays. He has a life, unlike the rest of us. And,
yes. Well, yeah, it's Labor Day weekend, besides.
Well, of course, there is that as well. Yeah, which I keep forgetting that this is a Labor Day weekend, that it's anything beyond what it is. But I'm really excited to bring John on and talk to him about what is happening with TimeBridge. Like I said, it's been a cool side of the week in the past. It's like this just amazing scheduling system for people that have to schedule you know, multiple people at the same time trying, you know, have you ever done that where you send out an email?
Sure.
And you're like, oh, does Tuesday the 15th work for everybody?
Right.
Or would you like third? And then, you know, there's always the one guy
right.
who says, nah, neither of those work for me. Why don't we do it next Saturday? And then you got to do the whole blasted thing again. Well, TimeBridge kind of cuts that whole process short. And John, I'm not going to tell too much more than that. John's going to, I'm sure, break it down for us and let us know what all went into coming up with that. So we'll be doing that in a few
Sounds
minutes.
Sounds like a very useful internet tool.
It's I've been really excited about using it, and I'm gonna top off that useful internet tool with the cool sites of the week. This week are gonna be at least one, and if we have time, possibly two cool sites, which are gonna break the mold for our typical cool sites. I'll tell you right up front, they're not gonna be necessarily free, but they are ones that have changed the way that I operate in the office and the way that I operate at work, and have been just
things that you have personal experience with.
Really cool stuff that I've been excited about. So we'll get to that too, and we'll have that. And then of course at the end of the show, for podcast listeners only, we'll have a podcast music pick as well. So and I wanna say too, I got an email from someone who was concerned about the musical choice from a few weeks ago, is that there were some questionable language in it.
Oh.
And I want to let people know this is, you know, FCC regulations, those don't go out over the air, but the FCC regs don't apply when I'm playing some of that music on the podcast. So I will try to alert you if it's going to be really brutal language, but you know what? I don't really lean that way anyways. So so if there's going to be a bad word dropped here and there, it'll be pretty tame and pretty, it's not going
to
be.
And you like to think of yourself as cutting edge.
Yeah,
when it comes to music.
I, you know what, I'm so into the groove that I may not even pay attention to the lyrics all the time. I may not even realize what's up.
Anybody
that actually knows me knows how.
You're very into independent labels and unknown bands, and you help them get discovered.
That's right.
You help listeners discover new music as well.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, and we have played some music that hadn't been played on air, as far as I know, anywhere else, and all that. So we got some good stuff. Now, there's been a lot of stuff going on, of course, in technology news this week.
Hey, did you hear Steve Jobs died?
Yes, that was one of my top notes I was going to bring up, actually, was Steve Jobs' obituary went out. Bloomberg published it. Now, it was only published for like 15 minutes, but...
That's enough nowadays.
Exactly.
That's enough. Oops.
Exactly.
You know, it's probably a tab, you know, drop-down tab that's... it was update. You know, you can update the obituaries, and then there was upload.
Yeah.
And I bet you that's what he hit upload. So, upload like, instead of update.
And this is not the first time this kind of thing has happened. I mean, this has happened many times in the past, because the major news venues, they've got all of these obits pre-written.
Right.
They're all ready to go.
Sure.
They update them on a regular basis. You know, the people that run the obituary columns, they're not just sitting there day by day waiting for someone important to pass away.
Right.
They're keeping track. It's almost like an historical thing where they keep track all the time of what the most recent things are with these people.
And Steve has had a bout with cancer. So
he had pancreatic cancer, which not only did he have a bout with it, but he kept it secret from the media and from shareholders and everyone for 9 months, which, anybody who's got experience with cancer of any sort knows this can occasionally just kind of fly through you and especially pancreatic.
Also the survival rates from pancreatic cancer are pretty low, actually.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, but he did survive. He is a survivor of it, but it has made particularly shareholders a bit, tense about his health situation, and when he showed
that didn't help. Bloomberg didn't help any.
No.
But I guess the stock took a tiny dip, but nothing significant.
No. Yeah, you know, people. It was just so apparently just an error and all that. You know, my guess though is what had happened is that Steve Jobs actually did die, but they were able to replace him quickly enough with a
droid,
a mechanical bot that. That no one has actually paid attention. Unfortunately, though, it's running on Windows Server 2003, so the uptime, we'll see how he does. We'll see how he does with that. Now, also, too, in other bad news for Apple, in addition to Steve's reports of Steve's death, we also had that in the United Kingdom, the iPhone ads were banned because they had all of these ads which were really cool, and they showed people going to different websites, and the claim was that you can get all the internet. All the parts of the internet that you need on your iPhone.
Right.
You know, and...
Oops.
Yeah, the ad was something along the lines of, when you're out, are you going to need the, how do I make an appointment part of the internet? Or are you going to need the, how do I find my way there part of the internet? Or are you going to need your, how do I... find a phone number part of the, it was something along those lines. They said you can get all the parts of the internet. Well, people filed a suit against Apple saying, you know what, you don't play nice with Java and you don't play nice with Flash, and that's not legit to say that you get all the parts of the internet. And they won the case, and so the Advertising Oversight Board in the UK said that's misleading and get it off.
Yeah.
So
that, well, good. Deceptive advertising. Even legitimate legal advertising can be deceptive enough sometimes.
Absolutely.
We don't need it any worse.
There's enough FUD, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt about things that that people don't need additional stuff added in there. Now, of course, I'm still waiting to see the new ads that Microsoft is producing to battle against.
Oh, yeah, the Seinfeld ads?
Yeah, I'm waiting for Seinfeld to come out. In prep for that, I guess this was going to be a cool site of the week, too, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to put a link in the web pages or in the newsletter to there is just an absolutely hysterical video about Bill Gates and Steve Jobs battling it out with lightsabers and all this in Macworld. Yeah. And you got to see it. It's a cartoon thing. It's one of these one of these Flash video things, and there's a video game actually associated with it too. I'll put the link in. I got that from Daily Cup of Tech turned me onto that, so I'll link you through to it though, and you'll want to check that out so that while you're waiting for the Microsoft ads to come, you can pick up on those.
So that's nice. You get a little sneak preview to see a candidate that didn't quite make it to the cool side of the week. Culling.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And I'll put it in there. Now, of course, any of the cool sites of the week, if you missed any, you want to go and see what we've ever done, go to techtalk.wrlr.fm, and under the show tab, I've got a link there for every cool site we've ever used is right there. You can go find them.
Did you hear that the space station got a virus?
No. No,
yeah,
I did not.
Internet.
This the sounds internet. Like a setup for a joke. Where is
no, it? It's not. I swear. The International Space Station actually got a virus on one of their laptops.
Oh, wow.
And might have spread to more than one, actually. You'd think it would because they're networked. I couldn't print it out this morning. I had trouble with my printer and my computer, naturally. And
is this one of those Trojans, or
they're not? No, it's not. It's just a straight-up virus that they think... it could have become from somebody's personal flash card or something like that. They're thinking.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get.
But it's bugging them. They can't get rid of it. They're a little. The tech support's a little far away. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think somebody just saw Independence Day too many times. You know. folks that don't remember, the plot of that movie involved uploading a virus to a.
Yeah,
alien spaceship.
Yeah, well, and I'd like to get we'll have to get Mark Beer back on here from PC Tools. Maybe we can ask him about that too.
Yeah,
maybe I can do that in a week or two.
Yeah.
It's been long enough now. We try to get him in about once a month. Mark Beer does our regular Eye on Security spot, and I think it's been a little bit since we've seen him.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of a scary thought though. I mean, there's a lot of apparently it's not infected any command and control computers, but still, it's a scary thought that. A virus could get into a computer that does control command and control, and the thing could come crashing to Earth.
Well, I had talked last week. There was just new information about taking over people's pacemakers and things that you could.
I'm sorry.
You could
sorry, I missed
and,
that.
And
oh,
drug. Yeah. They have these mechanical, computerized drug distribution systems that you can put in your body and things like that. Oh, yeah, pretty horrible
stuff. I dated a girl with a pacemaker once.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and...
See, this again, this sounds like a setup for a joke.
It's not. It's not. Her name was Wendy, and she was from the Twin Cities, incidentally. I know, I have some history there.
Good old Minnesota boy.
Yeah, Wendy Anderson, as a matter of fact, so that I bet there's a million of them.
I was going to say, that's not helping narrow it down.
But we would be, we would be out, having a cocktail or something, and we used to win bar bets because we'd bet people that she could lower her pulse by half. And what she would have a magnet in her hand, and she would just kind of put her hand near her heart.
Wow.
And would slow down the pacemaker enough to, And she was an attractive young lady, and gave guys an excuse to like hold her wrist to check her pulse.
Yeah.
We got a lot of free drinks that way.
Boy, it sounds like times were tight, you guys are playing with your heart rate in order to score a free drink.
She was calmer. She was calmer when her heart rate was down
too.
Yeah. So it helped, It helped. We got along better when her heart rate was down.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. Man, that does sound... She had a tough time around microwaves, though.
Yeah. So if there's anybody in a Minnesota bar right now and there's a lady offering to
Yeah.
Don't take the bet.
She's going to win. Either she's going to win or she's going to keel over.
Yeah.
And either way, you don't want it. You don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Now here's some news that I ran across that's going to affect us here at the radio station, but also people locally, actually not just local, nationally. Comcast just recently decided they're going to put a cap on their bandwidth usage. 250 gig is the most that you're going to be able to do with your Comcast solution, which is,
250 gig in what time span?
Over 1 month. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
In 1 month, any month. And if you go
that
over,
seems to be about enough.
what they'll do is they're going to give you one warning, and then if you go over the 250 gig, they'll suspend your service. Well, you know, it seems reasonable, and when they give you the numbers, they're saying, this affects less than 1% of our customers. In order to reach your 250 gig limit, you'd have to send 50 million emails, download 62,500 songs, or 125 standard definition movies. And et cetera, et cetera. Okay, well, be that as it may. However, there, especially with like the Olympics recently, I know a lot of people were watching the Olympics almost exclusively on their PCs.
But that would be a pretty compressed. I wouldn't imagine, hours and hours of watching that compressed video wouldn't amount to that much, I would think.
Well, you can get now via Hulu and others, you can get high def videos.
Via who?
Hulu? Hulu.com? Just like a hula hoop? That was actually, it's HULU, hula, but Hulu.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I believe that was a cool side of the week as well. If it wasn't, it should
I think it was.
It
I think it
been.
Was. I was just. For a listener's sake, wanted to clarify.
Hulu.com is the place to go, and you can stream TV shows. If you missed the last episode of Battlestar Galactica, that kind of thing, you can pick it up on there. They also they cull videos and connect you direct to the NBC, CBS's online video stuff, and you could have streamed the Olympics through there as well, which I did on a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
So
it'd be interesting. I don't have those figures handy. The typical hour of streaming video, what kind of what do you need? What does that amount to in terms
of I don't
bandwidth?
Know. That's a good question. I've got a little I'll have to make a note to myself to do some research on this and see what it is.
I bet it's like half a megaminute, I would think.
Yeah.
I would guess at the most.
Yeah, that might be.
It's video, so maybe a megaminute.
Yeah, I don't know. They talk about 128 kbps streaming, which kilobytes per second. So,
If that's the case, then that's a megaminute.
So that would be about a So you know what? We're speaking randomly here. I'll do some.
We're supposed to have the answers, not the questions.
Exactly. Yeah. This is the tech talk.
But we're vulnerable. We're human.
And I'm gonna look into that, and I'm gonna see what the answer is there, and see how much you would really have to be doing, especially if you're streaming, to hit this 250 cap. Now, the good thing is that they're going to give you a warning first, and then if you do it again for 6 months, then they'll suspend your service. But they'll suspend your service for a year. Now, Comcast, though, prides themselves on being a no-contract provider. So you would not have to continue paying, of course, during the course of that year. You just wouldn't be able to get service through Comcast for a year.
Right.
I think that the result of this is going to be that those 1% or so that start hitting this limit, if they get the warnings, they're going to immediately bump over to Verizon Fios. AT&T's got Light something. There's other options out there now for people to upload and download their data. So it'll be interesting to see if there's a move away from Comcast and if Comcast is going to pay in the pocketbook for this decision.
Well, there was a very brief period of time where I wanted to see early on with broadband exactly what the capacity was. Mm-hmm. And the maximum capacity at that time was about 10 gigs a day practically. Uh-huh. To download stuff. And that was like all day, all 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
I don't know what the speeds are now or what's practical and what do people really need?
It's really Comcast's way of getting around the FCC ruling that said that they're not allowed to prioritize traffic by blocking the BitTorrent stuff and the other P2P processing. It's their way of of saying, okay, fine. You know, it's a step in the right direction as far as the net neutrality proponents would go, because what they're saying is you can do whatever you want with your bandwidth, and we don't care where it comes from, where it goes.
And no one has a priority.
That's right. Yeah. But our pipe is such that we can only support you up to this level. Now they've got some plans down the road to possibly start, you know, they could charge you more if you want to use more than that 250 gig, that
right.
type of thing. I don't know what the costing
is. And I've seen many reports in the last few months that the all you can eat pricing of internet access is
going to be going away.
Going away,
yeah, which probably makes sense. Well, hey, you know, we should probably give Mr. Stormer a call, and it's about 20 after 10. I do have the information for the geek trivia stuff, but I will try to get to it after we talk with John. Otherwise, we'll pick it up next week right where we left off. Like I said, unfortunately, Jay is not going to be able to join us. He's off in the deep woods somewhere out of cell service, out of cell range. And
having a good time while we're here in the studio.
You know, it's a Labor Day weekend. He should be enjoying it. And so let's give John from Timebridge a call here. We're, of course, doing this through Skype. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hello?
Good morning, John. This is Michael Kassler, and I've got Dave Sparky Saganaki here with the Tech Talk Show giving you a call.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the show, John.
Good morning.
Thank you.
John Stormer is joining us here. He is with TimeBridge. And, John, I'm going to let you do the honors. How you introduce yourself how you want to. What is your role with TimeBridge? And maybe then tell us a little bit about what TimeBridge is. I took a stab at it a little bit earlier on the show, but I think you can probably do a better job than I can.
Well, the listeners can decide or check our answers. So I am the Vice President of Marketing and Business Development at TimeBridge, and I've been there about 2 years, pretty much since its founding. I'm not a founder, but I've been there from the beginning before we had product,
mm-hmm.
And it's been fun. I like to do startups, and this is, depending on how you count it, my fourth or fifth startup, and I find it enormously fun and a great way to earn a living. TimeBridge is what we call a personal scheduling assistant. It helps busy people find time to meet with other busy people. It's really all about scheduling meetings. And we focus on it as a business application, but it can be used for personal meetings or personal get-togethers as well. And what we found in looking at the way people go about it right now is they're left with sending an email, making a phone call, and you can imagine sending an email out to, you want to get five people together, you send an email out and say, hey guys, we need to get together in the next 2 weeks. You get a flurry of emails back and forth, and you try to negotiate and moderate and mediate and finally find a time. And then you just pray you don't have to do it again.
Yeah, we were saying earlier, and there's always the one guy, isn't there? There's always that one guy who everyone finally says, okay, that Thursday will work. And he's, you know what, I got to go to a ball game. Can we do it the Saturday following, you know?
That's actually true. And you know, that's the way the world works. But what's kind of interesting is really – meetings are so central to how we get work done.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some research with consumers, and what surprised me, I expected to go in and hear them say, you know, I hate meetings, you know, meetings are just, you know, they get in the way of my work. But that wasn't the attitude at all. It was, meetings are the way I do my work. You know, we come together, we have discussions, we make decisions. And so the pace of business and progress for organizations a lot of times hinges on how fast we can get together get on with things and get to the next meeting. Our research also showed that it can take as much time to schedule a meeting as it does to have it. So if you don't like meetings, you know, what could be worse than taking an hour to schedule a meeting that you did in for an hour? So we kind of boiled it down to a phrase we call one-step scheduling. So or PC World, we like what they called it. They called it fire and forget, where you as the organizer can propose multiple times, send out an email, Everybody gets a chance to vote. Everybody, by the way, and you pointed out the guy who's always the stickler, the one that everybody has to schedule their lives around. We make the choices transparent, and what it does is it creates a subtle social pressure to bring the meeting to close.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't try to get too fancy with algorithms. Our founder, Yuri Nelkin, his background and expertise is in natural language processing.
Oh,
and the funny thing about it is we don't use that. We do have some interesting algorithms in our application, but we're not using sort of black box technologies to, you know, to decide when to meet. We're really just trying to make it a transparent and social exercise and support that in the application, not try to be too fancy.
Yeah, and you know, and maybe it's a good time to just explain to listeners how this actually works. I mean, as a user, you can connect it with your Outlook calendar or your Google calendar if you're the meeting originator, you know, make it so that you already know what your schedule is going to look like in the system, and then when you send out the email, of course, the people that you're sending to can either choose at that time to connect their own calendars, or they can just respond without ever having to share any information other than just the response to that email, which is a really nice feature of it, is that you can connect people that are from different companies, that are not involved, don't have an Outlook calendar, don't have any calendar that you can connect to at all. They can still take advantage of the service to make that meeting happen.
That's exactly right. That's one of the important ideas. Well, first of all, what sometimes when we talk about what TimeBridge does, people will think that we are a calendar,
mm-hmm.
and we are definitely not.
No.
Basically, we try to support the calendar that you use, and so if you use Outlook or Google, and we're soon going to announce support for Apple iCal, the Mac. Then you're able to see the details of your availability in your calendar. You're also able to share your availability with others through the TimeBridge system, so they can see blocks of time when you're free or busy, when they're proposing times. You can see it right in the application. But the important thing is for the organizer doesn't have to care or think about is somebody else on TimeBridge or not.
Mm-hmm.
The system just, we want the system to be able to work and the organizer not to have to worry about it.
Cross-platform.
Cross-platform, yeah.
Yep, cross-platform, cross-company, extra-personal,
cross-time zones, which, again, it's what, when the company was founded, there was no Google Calendar. There was no Mac support on Intel. There was no Mac Intel platform.
Mm.
And since the company, and it was very focused on Outlook, and we've basically redesigned the application to take advantage of what we see as a very large trend of lots of people, lots of energy around Google Calendar, lots of people adopting Macs in the business environment. And we don't really care what you use. We kind of think of it like we're doing to calendars what PayPal did to financial transactions. We think of them as time transactions. And how PayPal, it didn't matter which bank you used, you didn't have to sort of figure it out with the other person. You could figure out a way to pay each other without having to worry about it. And similarly, TimeBridge allows you to schedule meetings, and you don't have to worry about what calendar they're on, what system they're on, or time zone. And the system will figure it out for you.
Yep.
So we kind of sit in the middle of all of that. But the more different calendars get adopted, the more valuable TimeBridge is.
Well, and that, I mean, that brings up a good question too. What is your big push right now? You mentioned that, of course, you support Google Calendar. Outlook was one of your initial things that you did support. Outlook and Microsoft apps, I know, are all going towards this kind of cloud computing thing, and TimeBridge seems to be in a good position to leverage that and be able to interface directly. But maybe that's not the direction you guys are going. What is kind of the next evolution for TimeBridge right now?
Yeah, we're very focused on growth just trying to bring more and more people onto the system and make it more useful for people. So one of the so we're almost 100,000 users right now, and we just went generally available in December of last year. So we feel like we're on a good trajectory. And one of the things that happens in these businesses, again, that I just find fun and interesting, is you see things that you didn't predict start to emerge in how people are using your product. And what we've seen are companies basically organizing their groups around TimeBridge. So basically what happens is somebody finds it, and then they say, hey, guys, let's all get on TimeBridge, and we can all see each other's calendar. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're on a Windows machine using Outlook and you're on a Mac using Google or you're on a Mac using iCal. We can all work together and share each other's calendar.
I was just going to say, and I've seen that really work effectively in a school district situation. I used to work in school districts myself as director of IT. I've got some close friends that still do. One of our local high schools, I bumped them the TimeBridge connection, and I said, you know, hey, look, next time you're scheduling, give this a try. Well, in a school district environment, of course, you've got so many different people trying to connect with all of them to get together with this stuff. And even within the same building, you've got some people are on Macs, you've got some people that are in Outlook because you're hosting an Exchange server, but other people, you know, don't have anything at all, and they're just keeping it in their notepad, and trying to get all those people sorted and organized to make a decision on that. The only continuity between everyone is that they're all on email, and you at least can get them an email going, and they can all get on the web.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And schools have taken this up, you know, with a vengeance, as you suggested, because not only do they coordinate, you know, within the district, they also have parents and students and others that they have to collaborate with. We have one teacher in Georgia named Vicki Davis, mm-hmm. who started a project called the Horizon Project, and it's basically a collaborative effort that crosses, you know, Bangladesh and Qatar and all around the world to coordinate and think about the future of education. And one of the things she said is that she couldn't have even done it. She uses TimeBridge to coordinate this group. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of the official application, one of the official applications for this group to get their work done. And she basically said not only is it she's not just saving time on scheduling meetings, she couldn't even do this project if she weren't able to have TimeBridge to coordinate everybody.
Things coordinated somewhere. Yeah.
So we're really, one of the things that, you know, the emphasis is really on getting the group together and doing things that make it easier for people to coordinate and organize their groups. One of the things, like I said, it happens despite what we've built in the product, and there are a lot of things we can do to make that easier for people. The other thing that we're going to do is one of the features that we have right now is free conference calling. So when you schedule a TimeBridge button, you click schedule a TimeBridge meeting, there's a button there, and you click it, and it adds a free conference call to the meeting, lets everybody know what the call-in information is, and our users have just sucked this up. They love it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to extend that to other things like web conferencing and to just make it easy not only to have the meeting, but to provision the resources around it. In this case, they're kind of virtual resources, but we see ultimately being able to provision real resources, conference rooms, restaurants. We have an open mm-hmm. table link right now. So just like when you're going to Expedia or your favorite travel destination, kayak, and you make a plane reservation, what happens after that is they say, hey, would you like a rental car? Would you like a hotel reservation? Would you like a limo from the airport to the hotel? And similarly, when you're in the scheduling process, there are a lot of things you need to do to bring that meeting together. And it not only adds value to the service, it for TimeBridge, it creates a monetization opportunity.
Yeah, that was going to be another question. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of value and functionality that you're offering. I haven't had the opportunity myself to take advantage of the phone conferencing, and I'm looking forward to when the web conferencing is available too, because that'll just make the whole meeting process completely seamless. But I know maybe I'm just one of those cynical people, but I'm sure somebody else is asking too in their head, is if this is a completely free service and you're not even asking people to sign up for things and all that, how are you guys keeping the doors open, the lights on. I'm sure at this time of the year you need some air conditioning running occasionally too. What is making things tick there?
Well, first of all, you know, we're venture backed by Silicon Valley, top tier of Silicon Valley venture investors, and what they care about is making money in the long run. And of course, that's, you know, technically that's all they care about, mm-hmm. is making money in the long run. And so so right now we want to build the world's largest network of connected calendars, and so we're very much about growth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, YouTube didn't think a lot about, okay, should I plop an ad up here initially? They thought about, how do I build a big user base and a very valuable application? And when you have venture backing, you can take that sort of long-term view about what it is you want to do. But we have been looking, and we do have plans for how we're going to generate revenue on this platform.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, and we're already doing it now, is free conference calling. And the other that we'll do is web conferencing. And there's a lot of money being spent right now. If you want to go, for example, and get a WebEx account, it's going to cost you something like $600 a year.
Yeah.
To do that. And that's the low end. And so there's a lot of money being spent on those services already, and the same for teleconferencing. And so we don't need a lot of that to make a lot of money off of what we're doing. We do, though, expect to have premium services. I know you're a fan of Jot.
Yes.
And it's a pretty, you know, proven model to be able to have premium services. And we even think we could have a company version of this to support an enterprise. And we've had a lot of enterprises trying us out. And they are willing to pay for things that let them provision users, let them control the look and feel, give them more technical support, you know, that they're used to from an enterprise level. So we think our first order of business is to grow and build something valuable. But we are testing and basically validating the monetization opportunities in the application as well.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you talked about, you know, doing the web conferencing, and obviously there's already a pretty big presence on the web with that type of thing. Are you looking to build and develop this stuff internally, or are you thinking you're probably going to wind up partnering with a more established company, that type of?
Yeah, we'll partner. We'll partner, and that could take a variety of forms. But what we see is, like you said, there's a lot of these technologies out there, which basically means they're commoditized,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and undifferentiated. And so, we see the trend is that it's going to be hard for one of those companies to differentiate on their technology or on their service. And TimeBridge can basically step in front of that process. If you look at any of those applications, the first button on there is schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be that, you know, that first click, and then basically help, you know, follow what happens after that.
I see. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and when you mentioned earlier too about actual physical meeting as well, we talked a little bit ago to the guys at TripIt, and also just a great service, and it seems like, you know, a match made in heaven. You know, the two of you, if I could be a matchmaker, I'd say let's get these, you know, the both of you together and make the whole thing seamless. And TripIt is great. It integrates also with some of the airline stuff and the hotel stuff and all that, so you can do the whole thing. If that was all integrated in a single service, I think that would just be a real boon to everyone that's involved with it.
Yeah, you know, we're familiar with TripIt, we could probably throw a rock and hit their office. And they
not that you would.
They call
not
themselves a personal travel assistant, just like we call ourselves a personal scheduling assistant. So we see a lot of similarities in TimeBridge and TripIt.
Mm-hmm. And both services I have to say, are ones that I use personally on, you know, if not a daily, at least a weekly basis. Between TripIt and TimeBridge, that basically sets my yeah. schedule for the for everything that I'm doing between here and the various offices that I go to. So
One of the realities is that few of us have assistants anymore. I did a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I actually had somebody who worked for Clinton's chief of staff, who was my secretary. So I had very fancy administrative support that nobody has anymore. And so we're now trying to replace that with some technology that can help us fill that gap.
Yeah, but you know, that's a really good that's a good point. I think that's very true. I also had an assistant up until fairly recently when I left the school districts. The school districts had a secretary there for years and years and years, and that's just the way that things always operated in a school district. And
yeah.
Now that I'm, you know, bumped out of that, I'm in the quote-unquote corporate world, although it's kind of an association, you know, nobody but the president anymore has got an admin assistant, somebody to manage
right.
all of this, you know, kind of grunt work. And this, yeah, these type of services have a very valuable place in taking over for some of that, you know, and filling that gap where in the past you would just say, I have to be here at such and such a day, make it happen. Or, you know, we need these people to show up in Pennsylvania, you know,
right.
make this happen. Have your people talk to my people. And
yeah, exactly.
TimeBridge is our people now, you know, that's...
yeah, have your technology talk to my technology.
That's it. Exactly, exactly. Well, we should probably start pulling this to a close here. We've got, of course, our geek trivia we want to get to and our continuing cool sites of the week, which is where listeners first heard about TimeBridge a little while ago, was through our cool sites of the week. So we don't want to miss that this week either.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to say thank you very, very much for coming on, John. It's very easy to find. I'm going to put links in the newsletter, but it's timebridge.com, and it's your personal scheduling assistant. Is that what you... how you describe it?
Yep.
And is there any kind of last words or last thoughts to give to people, or something they should be looking for or excited about?
Well, we're going to have some announcements coming up in the next week or so, so they should stay tuned. But I would tell you that it's free and easy to sign up, and we love feedback. We listen to our users. I'm on the phone listening to our users all the time and hearing what they want to change to the product, and those things get worked in, so I'd encourage everybody to sort of engage in the process.
And I can attest to that. That was how we first started talking. As a standard user, made a comment about something in TimeBridge, and I got a personal response back, and that started the conversation that led to us talking today, and made me so excited to share you guys with the listening the Tech Talk listening audience.
Well, great. You guys make technology fun, so keep doing it.
We try. We try our best. We at least we at least explain.
Don't take it too seriously. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, all right. Have a great Labor Day weekend, John, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from TimeBridge soon.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
And that was John Stormer with TimeBridge. Again, definitely check it out, timebridge.com, just like it sounds. And definitely one of those like I said, I'm going to give you another one later on today for cool sites, but definitely one of those applications that makes a difference in the way that I run my daily life.
And what a well-spoken man. He was just really...
Absolutely.
Right,
absolutely.
On the money.
Even when we were kind of losing it here.
What do you mean we?
Not keeping track of what was going on. It was John kept us afloat. So, like I said, definitely check it out. I'll put the links in case you miss them or forget them. They'll always be in our newsletter, which you can sign up to at techtalk.wrlr.fm, or send us an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm. WRLR.FM. I'm sure you would have figured that out. And you know what? We talked about monetization. We got to monetize here too. We got to pay the bills.
Very small monetization. There's not a lot of monetizing going on around here. Yeah.
No, if you want to become a sponsor of the Tech Talk show, make sure and send me an email, techtalk@wrlr.fm, and we'll put you in the mix.
Yeah, we're more petty cash than that.
It's a good deal.
Than monetizing.
So yeah. It'll be a good deal for you, believe me. But no. We'll make you a deal. We'll be right back at you in less than five and get our cool sites of the week.
See you then.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
What do Round Lake Park, Haynesville, Round Lake Heights, Round Lake, and Round Lake Beach have in common? One terrific park district. The Round Lake Area Park District has been serving its residents since 1974 and is continually creating new programs, services, and events to keep pace with our growing community. It features a child development center, including preschool and before-after school care, summer camps, a senior center, an outdoor aquatic center, two family museums, Fitness Plus Fitness Center, a sports center, Renwood Golf Course, Hartswood Challenge Course, and more. For people who like picnicking in the park with their family, are patrons of the performing arts, or enjoy hiking on a trail shaded by a canopy of towering trees, the Round Lake Area Park District truly offers something for everyone. For more information on recreational opportunities for all ages, contact the Round Lake Area Park District at 847-546-8558 or check their website at www.rlapd.org. Daniel Lee's Expert Tree Service will take down and remove or trim any tree. They are fully insured and have been serving Lake and McHenry counties since 1985. Daniel Lee's Expert Tree Service also sells firewood. For more information, their phone number is 847-693-8747 or email danleeservices@yahoo.com.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream a system and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Hey, Lake County, don't forget to tune in to 98.3 FM every Wednesday from 10 to 1.
For Midday Madness.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you heard it. That's right. Midday Madness every Wednesday from 10 to 1 right here on 98.3 FM, WRLR.
That's crazy.
That's right. Midday Madness follows if you're listening on Wednesday. And, of course, all the hits follows if you're listening on Saturday.
They sure do. They sure do, which this is a Saturday right now. Now, of course, you might be listening to the podcast, in which case it could be
any day
of the week. So it's kind of tough to do some of those sometimes.
And but if you're listening to the podcast,
thank
then...
Thank you very much. That was a great time.
Oh, Jeff is telling us about, he's mentioning we had Jeff over to Casa de Kassler, and
that was fun.
We had a very nice time. We saw Hoodwinked on the plasma, and
Dum Dum will bring gum gum.
And Dum Dum will bring gum gum, which if you've seen the museum, you'll...
I was just going to say, did you do anything but not the plasma? Or?
Oh, no.
We grilled out.
I was at Casa de Kassler. He came over before.
I know.
Yeah.
No, he's got a nice house. Very nice house. Very nice setup.
Sure, yeah.
And and we had a lot of fun. We grilled out. We made some sausages, and that was it, I guess. Actually, this was sausages and brats, right? Yeah, that was what we had. So it was good. It was good stuff. It was good stuff.
Watched a great movie. Good to see the wife and the kids.
Absolutely. They were happy to see you too. So hey, you know what? We got to do our geek tree. He's gonna get all mad at me now though. If we like start going over our time and start going into his show. You know, but how's this happening?
18 seconds the other day on the recording line. So.
I'm getting closer. You know, time has never been a good easy thing for me, which is why services like TimeBridge are so important.
That's
to
right.
and to talk about some geek trivia that we got going on here, you might remember last week Jay Garman. Now, unfortunately, Jay cannot be with us this week, but Jay, you might remember, did ask us the question as to what blue screen of death replacement, you know, what basically operating system when it fell apart, featured a guru meditation screen.
And, oh my!
Which is, I had never.
Let's see, who would do that?
Well, and I couldn't come up with anything myself. I was thinking, you know, like ZenWorks, and so maybe some Linux or Unix flavor or something like this. Novell based thing, but
yeah.
I couldn't come up with it. Dave is scratching his head.
I've never seen it. I was just trying to, once again, theorize, just as you were trying to theorize, hypothesize about, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Now, of course, there's a lot of different.
Did he say it was an English operating system?
He did not give us any hints on this
English
one.
English language,
he just wasn't forthcoming.
Like him.
You know, I tell you. You know, there's a lot of different type of operating system death screens. There's the sad Mac, of course, that we all know, and the blue screen of death that everyone knows and loves and so on. But the guru meditation.
Did we get any accurate answers from anybody?
We did not. Oh. Nobody even wanted to take a stab. Even our longtime listener, Steve.
Yeah.
From St. Louis.
Yeah. Who's a fanatic. Who's a trivia fanatic.
Yes, he is. And he was going to try and think up something. He said he was refusing to Google and Wikipedia it. And
this also sounds like a setup for a joke, by the way.
Whether you're going to be Googled or Wikied.
No, the whole guru death screen. You know?
Yeah, the guru meditation.
I didn't know the Maharishi Mahesh Yoga had an operating
system.
Well,
there is an actual answer. And the answer is that none other than the earlier versions of the venerable Amiga OS, which powered the Amiga line of computers. You might remember those back in the 80s with Big Hair and
that was my pre-geek days
when Johnny Depp was on 21 Jump Street and might have been playing with your Amiga.
Yeah.
And if it crashed, it would throw up a flashing rectangular box at the top of the screen that contained the guru meditation phrase and then followed by an error code.
Ah. Huh?
So that was it. So I'm sorry, no one answered that one correctly. However, I would not be surprised if we get some good answers to this week's one. Jay sent us, actually, he made sure that we'd have a question for this week, and I love this question. This is awesome. This is what Geek Trivia is all about here. Here's the question: how many crew members died in the original Star Trek series? And of those deaths, how many were red shirts? And if you don't know what a red shirt is, we're gonna take your geek card away from you today. The red shirts were those guys that whenever they were gonna go down and make a landing party, they say, Spock, Bones, Jim, we're all gonna go on a landing party, and hey, you know, Fred with the red shirt in the corner, why don't you come along too?
Shirt was crew, actually,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Gold was command, right?
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. So the red shirts were
disposable.
Disposable extras. So how many red shirts were lost? And which is interesting, since they were kind of a start, you know, the Enterprise is out on its own, to give you an idea of how many crew members they really had on board there that they could afford to lose so many.
Well, supposedly, I mean, the early ship had like 400 or 500 crew, and then the latter ship had like 1,500 crew. Of course, you only ever saw like 10.
Yeah. It's kind of like my wife and I always joke about this. It's the house effect. If you ever watch the show House, they've got this entire hospital of doctors and everyone else, but every single procedure has to be done by these three characters that are.
Yeah.
it's like, okay, so last week they were doing brain surgery, this week they're doing orthopedic surgery, and it's like, okay, it doesn't quite work out. But at any rate, so make sure and send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm with your guests. Just send me a number. Hey, we've still got some great gifts and prizes.
So the question is specific to red shirts? Or
specifically red shirts.
How many red shirts kicked the bucket on the original Star Trek series?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So make sure and give us. And I'm pretty confident the answer is greater than zero. So.
Like almost every episode.
Even if you send that as a guess, we'll throw you in the bucket for some good prizes and stuff going on. We've still got some SanDisk stuff. Those little tiny.
Oh,
chips.
Those microscopic.
They're smaller than my fingernail on my pinky, and they store over 8 gig.
It's amazing.
Of data. Yeah, just astonishing, astonishing. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I am not even going to play the Cool Side of the Week music because, I
we're that pressed for time.
Yeah, well, not only that, but it's the Price is Right kind of thing. That's really, this week, like I said, I've got some stuff that doesn't fall into our usual bin. It's not free. I'm warning you up front. This is not free stuff. However, you can get in on the beta of this first one and use it for free for some time. These guys are awesome. It also integrates with your Outlook, kind of like TimeBridge does. That's why it made a lot of sense to bring it up today. This is, I've been using it now for, I want to say, 6 to 9 months. And the name of the product is called Taglocity. And what it does is, are you familiar with tags? Do you know what a tag is?
Like a meta tag.
Yeah, like meta tags. It's basically, it's a keyword that you can associate with something. In this case, with your emails, with your contacts, with your calendar settings, anything that you want. And so, say for example, you get an email that is about, purchasing some IT equipment. Well, now, in the old way of organizing your email, and I've done this for years myself, too, and until I finally realized how completely difficult and inane it was, is that you would make a million folders. You know, and you'd make a budget folder, and then you'd make a purchase folder, and you'd throw it into the purchase folder. But then at some point, you're trying to find when you bought that IT computer, IT piece, and you'd go back, and you couldn't find it anywhere. And you'd have to do the Microsoft, now you've got Google Desktop Search and some things that can help you. But, it gets really tough to narrow it down.
Sure.
Well, Taglocity allows you to associate with that email multiple tags. So you can tag it with IT, purchase, computer, budget, finance, 2008, whatever you want.
Wow, that sounds very handy.
Yeah, and then, of course, it's got function to filter it, so you can filter if you just want to see everything tagged with budget. That's all you're going to see. So now, instead of making a million folders, I've got two.
It sounds
folders.
Very, very, very helpful when you've got massive emails, especially.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
massive amounts of emails.
I think everybody these days now, and if you listen to the show with Matt Richtel a couple weeks ago, we were talking about this. We're just overburdened with thousands of emails, literally thousands of emails in our inboxes sometimes, and it's like, what do you do with them? I now have two folders. I have my inbox folder. I have three. I have my inbox folder. I have a reference folder that every time I've completed something but don't want to actually delete it, I put it in reference, and I have a sent items folder, and that's it. With Taglocity, I'm able to tag all these items. I can find them in a heartbeat and bring them up. And same thing with my contacts and with my calendars too. I can see exactly what's been going on with any project. In addition to
Taglocity.
Taglocity.com. Like I said, it's not free. It's going to cost you a couple of CDs worth of coin, but it's not too bad. And it's certainly a very valuable tool. Get in on the beta operation of it though right now, and you can use it free for a couple of months before they come out of beta on beta version 2.
That way you can see if it's right for you.
That's right. Yeah. Version 2 has got some very cool features which I had in the past recommended people hook into Zobni, which is inbox spelled backwards. Now, I still support Zobni. Zobni is a great product. If you get and buy into Taglocity, though, you won't need Zobni anymore. Zobni tracks every conversation so that when you click on an email from, I click on an email from Dave Sinaki, it shows me every other email that I've ever had with you, and also too allows me to immediately grab any attachments that you've sent to me or that I've sent to you. So if you ever have this situation where you're passing stuff back and forth or you can't remember the last time you talked to somebody, it's all right there now, and it's integrated both in Zobni and now it's integrated into Taglocity, so it makes it a complete solution. Very cool stuff. I'm going to put the links to it in the newsletter. Again, just a quick warning, though, that is not a free solution, so heads up on that. And you know what? We're going to close it out here today, and I'm going to leave you with, what am I going to leave you with? This is going to be our podcast song of the day. You're not probably going to be able to hear all of it, although I'm picking a short one. We are going to play Evil Bee by Menomina.
Oh, sounds good.
It's a good stuff. Good stuff. If you haven't heard of Menomina, they're good. They're good tunes, man. You gotta check them out.
We'll see you next week.
So, and hey, have a great week. Stay tuned even past the Evil Bee to listen to Jeff Davis and Zane. They got here with all the hits.
All the hits.
They've been in the studio bugging us for a while now. They're ready to get on. All right. Take care. they're gonna haul us out bodily. And you want to stick around? They got some good tunes. They got good tunes queued up. They got 1 minute to come on, and I'll leave you with some Evil Bee. Take care. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.